This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. The 60th State House District includes the city of Kalamazoo and most of Kalamazoo Township. William Baker is the Republican candidate running in the 60th State House District. Thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So give us a little bit of background about yourself, what you would like voters to know, and what you would like to do if you are elected to the State House.
Well, this is my first time running for public office. I have a degree in mathematics from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, lived in Kalamazoo for the last 6 years. And what I'd like to do if elected is help get Michigan on a fiscally sustainable track. About 40% of our state budget comes from federal resources. And with issues with Medicare and Social Security coming up, next 15, 20 years is going to be very difficult unless major things happen, both at the federal level and state level.
So what does a more fiscally sustainable track for Michigan look like?
Ideally, I would like to have Michigan in the end. The end goal is to have the entire state government run on entire state revenue. Everything from property taxes, sales taxes, income taxes, paying for the entirety of the state government.
Does that mean that those taxes would be higher?
I would like to cut taxes, but that means programs will need to be cut. Nothing will be safe. It's not going to be easy. We'll be looking at a 2-3% reduction of federal fund rate percentage-wise compared to the entire state budget. So just about anything's going to be on the table.
Okay, well, what are some specific things that you think right now Michigan is spending money on that it should be spending less money on it?
One of the biggest things right now is economic development. Michigan is throwing millions of dollars, billions of dollars sometimes, and really not getting much out of it. They're giving tax breaks and subsidies to developers and corporations. Bring your company here and create jobs, and in the end, at best, nothing really happens. Most of the time, the worst is money just flying out, and in the end, nothing happens. No new jobs, sometimes even jobs as a whole are lost because of we're playing favorites with this company or that company and not allowing business to grow naturally.
Well, what's the way business grows naturally, that you can attract businesses here without these incentives that you're talking about?
Well, you'd need to look at having a flat income tax or flat business tax. So any business, any size, whether you've got self-employed, one individual, or you've got tens of thousands of employees, same tax rate. No breaks for this industry or that company, or we like this big developer, so we're giving him this, or we want this giant company to come in and we're throwing, we're giving fruit baskets and roses and promises for the next 30 years.
But if everybody is taxed, you're talking about one rate of a business tax there.
Yes.
For any size business.
Any size business.
Aren't small businesses going to struggle to compete in that environment? Might they need something to help them, either some deductions or something, a lower rate at the start to get off the ground?
If it is a sustainable, if it is a low enough tax that it's easy on everybody, they will not struggle. And by having it the same for everybody, it's something that can be planned for. It's something everyone knows going in what it's going to be. It's not going to catch people off guard and say, well, if you register as a tech company, you're this rate. If you're a bank, you're that rate. And you're both, so you're pick one, flip a coin, and we'll figure out where you're at later on. So
you talked about specifically what the state might do to lure businesses in and maybe eliminating that. But if you're going to say that the state's going to be fully self-sustainable, they're not going to rely on federal tax dollars going forward, are there services, are there things the state does for citizens right now that it's not going to be able to do?
Are there anything that will be completely done that will not be done in the future is what you're asking?
Is what I'm asking, yes.
Right now, it's all about picking priorities. In the end, again, we're talking a 15, 20-year span here. So if we look at most important right now, we'll be picking and choosing at this time, not necessarily that we'll be eliminating something completely outright, but 15, 20 years, that's, again, one to two governors down the road, handful of legislatures, both incoming and going.
Well past the point of term limits that would allow you to serve in the state house.
Well,
past the point of 6 years.
We got to get things started, and then going from there is we can lay the groundwork, and we need to figure out where.
Do you think that what you're talking about, though, is significantly shrinking the size of state government?
Oh, yes. We'll be shrinking departments, and we'll be, you know, like I said, everything is going to be on the table. So it's not going to be easy. And, you know, the last thing I want to do is sit here and BS you, give you, you know, a whole bunch of fluff and promise roses and unicorns. And, you know, I want to be honest and truthful.
Okay. Well, what are your priorities? In other words, I guess, are there departments you look at that you say, well, sure, maybe that department has to exist, but maybe it doesn't have to be that big? Are there things you think the state spends money on that it can spend less on, aside from the corporate tax breaks that you mentioned?
Well, one that comes off to is the Public Service Commission regulates electronic or, you know, electrical companies and utilities.
Energy companies.
That we could just leave to the free market completely. We don't need the state saying these are the handful of geographical monopolies that we allow. Open it up for full competition and allow different companies to start up, now different companies to move in.
Are you confident you can do that and everybody in every corner of this state will get, say, natural gas if they need it?
Oh, yes. Natural gas, heat, coal, electricity. One of the big things is, you know, everyone wants to go green now. And Michigan right now is tapped at 10%, allowing from natural resources. You know, and then, okay, are we going to go 15%, 20%? Well, if we open it up to full competition, these different companies can come in and start up. And I envision not having a handful of large companies, but have utilities be like gas stations where they're everywhere and you get to choose on a regular basis. Do you want a company on Main Street, or do you want a company on Elk Court, or do you want a company on, you know, from Portage or Kalamazoo or, you know, Mattawan? Where do you want your company coming from? How do you want your energy to be produced and go forward from there?
You know, these companies like Consumers Energy, which have been around for a while, are probably going to make the argument, look, we're the ones who built the infrastructure. So there's got to be at least some transitional period before you go full-blown open market. Do they have a point?
No. I mean, they've been around and they've got the infrastructure. So they're starting from a, you know, they're starting on the 75-yard line when a brand new company will have to start in the end zone and go all 100 yards. They've got to increase. They've got a head start there. But
okay, but you don't think other companies are going to be using that infrastructure in some way once they get into the game? Transmission and that sort of thing. Or do they have to build their own starting from scratch?
It depends on how they want to do it. I mean, do they want to make a deal with consumers and say, we'll use your power lines, but we are producing the electricity and we can produce electricity cheaper than consumers, but transmission is, or do they want to come in and say, we're going to create electricity for this small geographic area and we're going to build our own services because that's the best way to do it for us? All about having options there. So
let me ask you about some things that the state does do now. PFOSs have been found in the water supply of a few places around Southwest Michigan, including just north of here in Parchment. What do you think, as a state lawmaker, are the things that you would want to do to address that? To you know, if there were PFOSs found in your district, what would be your reaction?
Well, and this is one of the big things where contaminants are only found, are known to be found after they're known to be contaminants. And so it is a matter of making sure infrastructure is kept up to date, make sure things are have a short enough lifespan that they're going to be, you know, the pipes and the utilities are going to be replaced on a continual basis. It's a matter of making sure things are done in a proper way and making sure that different people can be held accountable.
So infrastructure has got to be replaced. Does that mean that the state should be helping to pay for that?
Ultimately, it should be a local issue, but depending on how things can be done, yes, state can step in. It's going to be a case-by-case basis, and, I mean, Grand Rapids, Detroit, Lansing, the larger cities will have an easier time doing their own, whereas, you know, Parchment, Mattawan, Pawpaw, they might need assistance. They might have more issues because they're smaller and can't get the same things to scale. But
what should the state do about making roads better to drive on?
One of the things the state should do is look to privatize more roads. I mean, I took a trip down to Florida the last year and there were toll roads. They were the smoothest as can be. And even though we saw construction, there wasn't much delays. So if we put toll roads, you know, 94, 175, 131, some of the major roads throughout the state, those will pay for themselves, but also free up state money to assist on other less traveled roads, on the back roads and on public streets. So
what you would want to say then is that a private company operates I-94 within, just for example,
theoretically,
within the borders of the state of Michigan. They collect the tolls and they make sure that the road is good enough to drive on.
Yes, that will ease the trouble and make some of the difference up. Yes.
Does the state have to set some sort of conditions to make sure that said private company does follow through on that and make sure that those roads do get the repairs and construction they need?
Well, there'll be contracts involved, and if a company is not living up to their end, let's say you own the company and you own the company and you're collecting tolls, but nothing gets done for 3 years, 2 years, or, you know, whatever the contracts we state, then yes, we need to come in and say, you're not living up to your end of the bargain. You know, we need someone else.
How far would you take that? Is it interstate highways in Michigan? Would you, US 131 big enough that you would think about something like that as a toll road?
I would think so. Your major roads on the south end here, so 94, 131, 75 through Lansing. So pretty much Grand Rapids, Detroit. Between Grand Rapids and Detroit, Lansing, and Kalamazoo, maybe 94 the whole way because it heads to Chicago. But
how would you go about trying to get auto insurance rates reduced?
Auto rates, we need to have more options available. We need to end the no-fault, endless, unlimited medical liabilities. But in the end, have options available. So if you only want car insurance to cover the cost of a new automobile, or you only want insurance to cover the cost of maybe two new automobiles, yours and the other person involved in the accident, and then several hundred thousand in medical insurance, things, and have companies allow different options, having different levels of coverage for everyone, that will lower rates across the board, allow people to have different options. So
you want different options, but you don't want lifetime benefits to be one of them?
No. Well, we can have that as an option, but we already know that's the most expensive as we have. Probably not going to be chosen by that many people.
Do you think there is a problem that the state is going to have when people do suffer injuries, which are, you know, very serious injuries in auto accidents, and especially if they cannot go back to work, if they need some sort of lifetime care from whatever injury they've suffered?
In those specific instances, if it can be proven that a specific driver was at fault, so we're not talking things beyond your control, things of, you know, acts of God or what have you, but a specific driver caused it with or without malice, then that individual would be held responsible and there would be a limit there would be a high limit to what they would be responsible, whether their insurance covers that or not.
I'm sorry. Let's go through that again. So, so we have two drivers. One is seriously injured,
and it can be proven it's the fault of the other driver.
Yeah.
Yes, they would be held responsible for not only their medical bills, but pain and suffering and so forth beyond that.
And once that person's resources are depleted, you're turning to whoever has insured them in that car, and they're going to be responsible?
Well, insurance first, and then yes.
Insurance for, so the insurance of the driver injured?
The insurance of the driver that
caused the accident. Okay. And you're expecting the insurance company to come up with what? I mean, you know, are they going to cover lifetime benefits? Are they going to cover so much or what?
There would be a high limit. I don't know if we're talking, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars total or more, but there would be.
Are you also then prepared for the fact that that person who is injured is probably going to end up on something like Medicaid?
Yeah, that's a general probability.
What would you do about education in Michigan?
Education? I would allow the funds to go, instead of from state to school, to go from state to student. So pretty much every 18, any minor would receive funds each year. Educational savings accounts, basically expanded 529 plans, pay for any educational service they or their parents deem worthy, and allow funds to carry over, roll over with any interest accrued, and then pay for themselves at that point.
How do you see that playing out? Do you think that that is going to mean that public schools as we know them, public school districts, are going to be losing students?
It is a possibility they'll be losing students, but with the changing landscape of educational services, not only traditional public schools, private schools, but charter schools now, online schools, and then go back, you know, have private tutors, educational software, things like that nature, where we can learn from any number of ways. Education can be more individualized, be more customizable to the individual student. And so, yes, some private or some public schools will lose students, and we'll need to adapt and readjust how they do things.
You say that any educational institution could accept this money.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
And it will require a change of the state constitution allowing, you know, public funds to use for private education. Yes, I understand that. A first hurdle to cover, so.
Okay, so you do acknowledge that this is something that's going to probably take a pretty heavy lift, a full-blown campaign to amend the Michigan Constitution.
Oh, yes. It's not going to be day one. It's not going to be an easy thing. I get that. It's
Recently, the city of Kalamazoo had a big protest in Bronson Park regarding homelessness. What do you think is the state's role regarding people who have difficulty finding housing?
The state as itself has no role in that. Local governments, that's where it ends up. That's where the role is, not state government. Because in order for the state, you could be in Detroit or Dearborn and you're still a citizen. It doesn't matter. You could be Paradise or Portage, you're still a citizen. So it doesn't matter if you just crossed the border from Ontario or you just crossed the border in Ohio, you're to the state. But on the local level, where cities and townships, they know who's where, they know what services are available. That is where that's where everything falls for homeless.
You don't think the state should be providing grants, anything like that, to try and, perhaps boost housing stock?
No, not at all.
Let me ask you about the ballot proposals, which voters will be deciding. Proposal 1 would legalize marijuana for recreational purposes. Do you think voters should approve it?
I am torn on Proposal 1. I have no legal problem with recreational marijuana. But I would, one of the things I'm running on is ending excise taxes on tobacco and alcohol. So I can't promote a 10% tax on marijuana and then say tobacco and alcohol should have no taxes beyond sales taxes. That is something I have to personally decide myself, whether I allow 10%, you know, whether I'm going to stand for a 10% tax on that or not. But I have no legal issue against recreational marijuana.
Okay, if you took the excise tax out of it, do you think it's good public policy for a state to have legal recreational marijuana?
Oh, yes.
Proposal 2 would change the method of redistricting in Michigan. You support it?
I do not. I think redistricting is one of the tasks that should be held for the elected officials. Now, I may not agree with every elected official that goes to Lansing, but if they are duly elected, there's no funny business in how they got there. They're legitimately there. They're the ones who set up the rules and are there for the next few years. So,
right. The argument, though, on the other side will be that the lawmakers drawing these lines are helping to decide which voters will pass judgment on them when they run for re-election, perhaps in 2022, or perhaps if they run for another office down the road, state senate or Congress. Is there a problem with the state lawmakers themselves deciding where these boundaries are drawn for jobs that they are applying for?
That is generally a slippery slope, because the moment you say we don't trust lawmakers to do their job, what can we say we don't trust lawmakers to do in general? You know, do we not trust them to make any laws at all? And then why are they there? So we have to draw the line and say we allow them, we trust them to do the what's right in the eyes of the state of Michigan. So
Proposal 3, voting access.
That is a very complicated thing. There are some parts that already as, you know, they are as they are, and some of them I'm not too familiar with, so I'm not comfortable giving an answer on that entirely.
When you say some of them are as they are, they would enshrine it in the state constitution, things.
The current practices as they are right now, and that's the extent to what I know about it. I'm not the best read on that proposal, so.
Do you think the governor's office and the legislature should be subject to the Freedom of Information Act?
Yes. Any public office from governor all the way down to city councilman should be allowed for freedom of information in any information, any activity they do that is publicly in the public benefit or deemed public activity.
Do you think there are other things that could be done to promote transparency or accountability, address state ethics?
There probably could be, but at that point you're adding a watchdog to this office or that office, and then you're expanding government and we're just adding state employees to keep an eye on other state employees, and we're just running up the budget at that point, so.
Are there other ways, though, of making, for instance, campaign finance? You know, are there areas of campaign finance where more things could become known to the public, and if they want to go looking, they can find it?
For campaign finance specifically, I mean, other things, probably as long as you're posting more, you know, you're, instead of saying quarterly reports, we're doing every monthly report, or where you're posting not just to one place, but to three places, or that kind of thing, where information is shared, not just, say, through the Secretary of State's office, but Secretary of State's Treasury and local newspapers or something. Where, you know, with this day and age, it's not just sending one email, but CCing three different people, and you're sending three emails at that point.
What about greater disclosure? I mean, it probably won't apply to a campaign like this one, but there are cases where often the donors who contribute to many of the super PACs, things like that, we don't really find out who the donors are. They use kind of strange names. And are you for more sunlight on who's actually giving money?
I wouldn't necessarily be against it. Again, it's one of those things where there still needs to be some level of privacy that you as an individual can do what you want with your money, but I wouldn't necessarily be against more transparency. I'm not sure what form that would take.
You met your opponent and you took a selfie, and Bridge joked in the headline that hell freezes over. So is this an example of how a couple people who definitely see the state in different ways and have different ideas about how it should operate can operate in a more friendly atmosphere?
I would certainly hope so. Yes, we you know, ran into each other on the street there at the Bridge, and you know, Bridge magazine stop, and we, you know, had a few conversations at other events and whatnot. We are in not just Michigan, but the nation as a whole. We're in a turbulent time, and I mean, in the past, we've had turbulent times when a U.S. senator was caned almost to death in the Capitol by a representative. And now, I'm not saying today is at that level, but I mean, last year we had one, I think he was a Bernie Sanders supporter, open fire on a Republican ball game or, you know, practice. And whether that's foretelling things to come or whether it's we are at that level of where people are at each other's throats just because I'm on the right, he's on the left, my side, your side. In the end, we need to come together. We need to be civil with one another. And whether it starts with me and Representative Holy or whether we're just a drop in the bucket and it starts with other people, I don't know. But we need to be civil with one another.
You are also in a district, I will have to point out, where Representative Holy won 70% of the vote in 2014 and 69% of the vote 2 years after that. So what are you saying to people to tell them that despite the fact that they have for a long time pulled the Democratic lever for state house, they should be thinking about voting for a Republican?
The main thing is not just to be blindly held by a party. You know, if you've always been one way or your parents were always one way, it's not the same. You need to think as an individual, be yourself. And the end goal is to do what you think is right for the state of Michigan. Do you want someone who will sit around and say, I'm in the minority, there's no way I can do what I want to do? Or do you want someone who will stand up for what they believe in, say what they feel, and even though it may not be popular, will fight for the things they know are right for the state of Michigan? So,
when Lieutenant Governor Brian Kelly was defeated for the Republican nomination for governor, he told his supporters it was time to accept that this is President Trump's Republican Party. Do you agree, and is that a good thing for Republicans?
Do I believe that the Republican Party or any party should be blindly behind the current president or current leader? No, not necessarily. There's room for disagreement and say, even though this guy chose, we as a, you know, we as a group of individuals believe slightly different. I can't say that I voted for Governor Kelly or Lieutenant Governor Kelly, but
but as you're going door to door, if people ask you about President Trump and being a Republican, I mean, you know, I'm sure you've gotten into a conversation or two. Where does that usually go, and how do you respond?
It's usually along the lines of that I support him some of the time, but not all the time. There are things he does that I agree with. There are things that he does that I don't agree with. There are some things that he does that I don't agree with how he does it, but I like the end result. In the end, I'm running for the state level. He's head of the nation. Sometimes what's good for the state is not what's right for the nation, and there will be conflicts involved. We may need to fight and challenge the federal government on various issues. So,
William Baker is the Republican candidate in the 60th State House District. That includes the city of Kalamazoo and most of Kalamazoo Township. Thank you very much for your time.
All right. Thanks for having me.
This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans.